If you have your Bibles, you can, Acts is not going to turn anywhere. I'm going to preach a topical message, and the title here is, Disappointed and Discouraged. I just felt like it was what needed to be preached, today, and so I decided I would go in this direction. And the theme here is what to do when disappointed and discouraged. I could say overcome discouragement, but, you know, today you may be discouraged, and sometimes it's a season. And, you know, you may leave here still discouraged, so I want to help you know what to do during that time. So I'm going to read this. I read this in a book. It says, she felt as if she was slowly rotting eternally. The joy that once was what a characteristic of her service was all but depleted. Every day she felt sadder and stranger, submerging herself into meaningless procedures that led to further heartache. Lolling around the house, searching the scriptures for some obscure reference that might give her instant insight to a growing despair. This is just a little excerpt from a book, and it's just one testimony of hundreds of people who are struggling with disappointment and discouragement. This morning, you may be one of them people. Disappointment and discouragement are real. We all face them. Sometimes it's for a short time. Sometimes it's for a long time. Sometimes it's even long after you think, I should be over this. But no matter the situation, many of us face discouragement. Many of you this morning are sitting here and you are discouraged. Now, you may have not told anyone. You may have told someone. But you're sitting here and you're discouraged. You may have lost a loved one. You may have been given bad news about your health. You may have lost your job. Maybe you're sitting there and saying, you know, life hasn't turned out the way I wanted. And you're not saying that as a selfishness. It's just reality. Sometimes life didn't go the way you planned, and you're doing your best, but it's a struggle. You're disappointed. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've made some mistakes and you know it. And the consequences are hurting you right now. And you're discouraged. Maybe you have a loved one who is sick. And it's hard to watch them suffer. No matter the reason, you're discouraged. You feel alone. You feel tired. Isolated. And even scared. You may be here and you may have a hopeless feeling. Now, we would never say that because we're Christians. We have hope. But to be honest with you, you may have a hopeless feeling right now. You might even be angry. You may even be doubting that God will see you through. Maybe this morning you say, Brother Will, I'm not battling discouragement. I have been defeated by discouragement. All I want you to know, first thing, is you're not alone. Charles Spurgeon said this, as it is recorded that David in the heat of battle waxed faint. So it may be written of all the servants of the Lord, fit of depression come over the most of us. But you know, it's not just Spurgeon who dealt with discouragement and disappointment. I think about Abraham. And I'm going to read a few different verses, but Genesis 17, verse 17 said, then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old? And Abraham said, Oh God, that Ishmael might live before thee. So he said, what's going on here? Well, God had promised Abraham a son. He's not had a son. It didn't go the way he planned. He had a son with Hagar. We know that. And when he says that, he's not just saying, let's do this, God. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. I mean, he's doubting the plan of God. Abraham's dream didn't go as planned and didn't happen like he thought it would, and he has given up. There's no doubt that Abraham was discouraged and disappointed. Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 18 says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. That's discouragement. When godly man, Jeremiah was a godly man. Elijah said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, is it enough now, O Lord, take away my life? Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe that's a disappointment you're feeling. Job said this, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He said later, terrors are turned upon me that pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud, and now my soul is poured upon me. The days of my affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season. Paul said, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. That you should be grievous. They all dealt with discouragement. A lot of that was just how life went. They're dealing with that. But here, I thought about Peter. We can't leave Peter out. I like Peter probably the best. Because Peter's discouragement was due to his mistake. Remember? Peter said, I'm not going to deny you. And then what did he do? He went right out and denied him. And it says in Luke 22, and the Lord turned and looked upon him, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. But it didn't just stop there. Remember, Jesus called him the rock. And Peter was so discouraged and disappointed that he said in John 21:3, Simon said unto them, I go a fishing. And you've heard probably many sermons on that passage, but what he was saying was, I'm not going for an afternoon of fishing. He said, I'm going to quit. And he said, yeah, Jesus may have called me the rock, and Jesus had a big plan, but I'm so disappointed and I'm so discouraged that I'm going to quit. And we can add many, many more. We can talk about David. We can talk about Joseph. We can talk about Gideon. We can talk about Moses. My point is to let you know you're not alone. You're not weird. You're not it's not even a statement that you're unspiritual or different. Discouragement is real and something that we have to deal with at different times. But I want you to know this. God didn't leave them. He brought them through. And most of them did great things for God afterwards. I want you to know before we get into this sermon that God will see you through. He will resolve it, and he'll give you the grace to handle it. But you say, what do I do in the meantime? What do I do? You may say, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. What do I do? What do I do? Well, that's what I want to look at. What should we do while we're in the midst of discouragement? That's what I want to share. I want to get three things this morning. And I think that there's three things we need to do today that'll help you during your time of discouragement. Number one is tell it to Jesus. And tell it to Jesus. Now, letter A here is the prayer. And that's really what it is. We say it's prayer, okay? Now, stay with me, though, because I want to point out a few things. And because here's my fear. My fear is that you are guilty of what I'm guilty of. You say, well, what's that? I mean, I hope not. You say, what's that? That you pray once or twice about a problem. You ever done that? You ever been discouraged? You ever had an issue and prayed about it about 5 weeks ago? And that was the last time you prayed about it? Or even more than that, you pray and you're very guarded. And what I mean is you don't pour your heart out to God. See, at least for me, if I'm just honest, and something I've tried to work on is that my prayers are sometimes very rigid. And I don't give a lot of details. And I think that God has limited time for me, and that I've got to be, and I got to be very concise about what I say. And I can't just tell him all the details. That's my problem. Yeah, I pray about it once or twice. I'm very guarded with God. And I've said this before, but that sometimes I spend more time talking to others about my problem than I do God. And I've said this before, don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about, we need to share it with people. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'll be honest, I would be better off to share my problems with God a lot more than I do my family or my friend. Because this is what happened to me, Brother Mark. I'll pray to God maybe 5 minutes about something. And then I'll spend hours talking to my wife, my dad, my friend, and sometimes all of them about my problem. Well, that's part of the problem. And let me kind of further explain what I'm trying to say here. And let's look at King David for some tips on how to talk to Jesus. We know David had shared his misfortunes. He had his disappointment. He had his discouragement. And let's look at how he prayed. If you want to, turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And it's going to be a little different. Because we're not going to break this passage down like that. We're just going to read it. And I want to show you. And one of the things that kind of prompted me to want to preach on this. And I was reading through some of these. And it was one of the things that in my personal walk with God that I guess I got from the Word of God here. And I want you to look here. And 142, Psalm 142, it said, I cried unto the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you got to shed tears, but you see, that's my first thing. Do you cry to the Lord? Do you really talk to Him? Let's move on. He said, I cry unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I mean, he didn't say, God, I've got a problem. Will you help me with it? No, he went into great detail. He actually told God he had a problem. A lot of times we try to be spiritual, Lord. I've got this into my life. No, tell God, pour it out. He said, I pour out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then I knew it was my path. Now I knew it was my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto your Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion, and in the land of the living, attend unto my cry. I mean, he sounds pretty bold, doesn't he? He said, God, attend to my prayer. For I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutor, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteousness shall compass me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. This is a man who is discouraged. He didn't hold anything back. Now, you know, to be honest with you, you know what we would call that? We would call that whining, wouldn't we? We would say David's whining. Well, then that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. I think that's the problem. We come to God think, oh, we got to be tough. We got to be strong. No. We need to go to God and tell Him everything. We need to tell Him what's going on. Hey, I mean, guess what? He already knows. He already knows. Hey, if you're angry with God, tell Him. That's the type. David was the type of man when he prayed, he would have told him that. He'd have told David. I mean, he would have told God, I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. This is not how my life was supposed to go. I want this to go away. Hey, take it away. He would have poured his heart out to God. And you can look at Psalm 143, the next one. He said, hear my prayer, O Lord. give ear to my supplication. He said, hey, God, listen to what I'm saying. He didn't hold anything back. He said, hey, God, do I have your attention? He said this, in thy faithfulness, answer me. One day he said, God, you're faithful. You promised to be faithful. Now, I want you to be good on that promise. We wouldn't ever talk to God that way, would we? What David did. I think the problem is we don't really talk to God. That's why I didn't want to say prayer. I want to say, tell it to Jesus. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, and he has smitten my life down to the ground, and he made me dwell in darkness. See, that sounds like some details to me, does it not to you? That, but there was like how I talked to my dad on the phone about a problem. But you know what? But that doesn't describe how I talk to God many times. I don't give God them details. And that's part of my problem. He said, verse 4, and as those have been long dead, therefore in my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy work. I muse on the work of thy hand. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee and thirsty land. Hear me speedily. There it is. He's going to get, hear me, God. O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemy. I flee to thee to hide. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For the righteous shall bring my soul out of trouble, and of the mercies cut off my enemy, and destroy them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. You say, what are you trying to tell me? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. That's what David did. David didn't hold anything back. David shared with God his fears, his desires, his dreams, his mistakes, his feelings about God. He reminded God of his promises. He made requests. David's prayers were intimate conversation with God. And this is one of David's keys to success. His prayer life. To him, tell it to Jesus and explain what we need to do when discouraged. I don't know, a lot of times we sing the song, but I don't know, sometimes we kind of just sing through them, we don't read the lyric. Listen to verse 1. Aren't you weary? Aren't you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Aren't you grieving? Overjoyed, departed, tell it to Jesus alone. Verse 2, do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that the men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Verse 3, do you fear the gathering cloud of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Verse 4. Aren't you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom on your side, tell it to Jesus alone. And here's the course. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. You know, David could have wrote that song. But what the verses I just read, David understood and could have wrote that song. And I know that it's just a song, but that right there describes many of us who are discouraged and one thing keeps saying, tell it to Jesus. Some of you in this room are struggling, and you're disappointed, and you're discouraged, and you're like me, you're not talking to Jesus. Oh, you're telling something to Jesus. I mean, yeah, you're going through no, give us this day our daily bread. You know, you're going through some type of prayer, but are you really talking to Jesus? If not, then you're missing out. No, your problem may not go away, but prayer, but talking to Jesus is the key when dealing with discouragement. And you know what? I don't think I'm the only one that struggles to tell it to Jesus. I'm saying, I can prove it. You know, to him, what a friend we have in Jesus. Listen to verse 1. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's what we're all at. Amen. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hey, whoever wrote that song is like me. It dawned on them that, hey, the reason I'm struggling is because I don't take it to Jesus. Let me tell you what you need to do. Verse 3 said, are you weak and heavy laden, encumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. His arm, he'll take and shield you, and you'll find solace there. Hey, let me ask you, are you discouraged? Tell it to Jesus. You know, let me ask you. And I think there are some people in here who are discouraged. And that's why I'm preaching this. Because the one thing that, I guess I've been here, 4 years at least now, and we built that relationship. It's a relationship. Somebody told me when I tried out, I think Brother Bob said, you know, trying out is like a dating relationship. Kind of like going on a date. And it's kind of like, it's a relationship. And the longer I've been here, you know, some of you have been, I'm very appreciative, have shared with me. And that's a good thing. But you are discouraged. And I don't know this, but let me ask you. How much are you praying? I mean, how much have you literally went to Jesus and talked to him and just poured your heart out to him? How many of you can say, hey, this last week I prayed to God like David did? Have you done that? If you haven't, then I want to encourage you to tell it to Jesus. We need to tell it to Jesus in prayer, but we need to tell it also, let it be here, is to people. This is very important. Galatians, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but Galatians 6:1 says, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, believers can't pray for you if you don't share it. You know, the first Sunday after Willow was born, and I came back, and my father-in-law actually preached, but I told y'all, I said, hey, my wife is struggling. And I told y'all what was going on. Well, I went back home. I didn't get permission to do that, by the way. But I got back home and said, hey, I told him. And she said, I can't believe you told him that. You know, something like that. And you know what I said? And when I said, well, you know, I've been telling people we got to bear one another's burden, and we got to lead in that. We gotta lead. We gotta do that. We want other people to do that. We gotta start doing that first. But guess what? People started praying. Because they knew. Guess what else happened? She started receiving text messages, cards, sharing their story. You know what that's called? It's called ministering to one another. Did it help? Well, it helped me. And I know it helped her. Guess what? How are we going to help each other if we don't share it? I'm afraid we have become proud, too proud to tell others what we need. I think we've decided we're a self-made person. We're probably strong and tough, and it's got to the point where we don't even tell God what's wrong. Not really. And on top of that, we don't tell each other. Now, I'm not saying you got to do this. But I wonder how better off we all would be if we stood up to, hey, you know what? I'm dealing with anger. I'm so angry at God right now, and I know I'm not supposed to be. And I wonder if this group here, I wonder how that person would feel the next week after all of us prayed about that next week. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that, but you need to tell somebody. But I wonder if we started doing that, and you said, hey, I'm going to share my burden. And I said, hey, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to share that burden, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to help you. I wonder how much better off we would be. I think that's the problem. I don't think we're functioning in the church a lot of times. And what a shame. We're missing a blessing. And we're missing victory. We need to share our burdens. We need to bear one another's burdens. Let me ask you, are you discouraged? Tell it to Jesus. But also, tell it to fellow believers. If you're discouraged, tell it to Jesus. Secondly, trust in Jesus. That's number two. Trust in Jesus. Let him ask you, what are we supposed to try? And I'm not talking about salvation. Obviously, if you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus for salvation. But I'm talking to the people who are saved today. That's what I'm addressing mainly. And trust his promises. And I put out beside that rest. You do realize, and I'm going to say this again probably, I'm saying it now, but don't get rest from God by God taking away your problems. You get rest from God by trusting in his promises. And that's literally what you have to do. It's literally trust. It's literally saying, I'm going to bed, I've got all this in front of me, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. You got that Red Sea in front of you, like Moses did, and it's saying, I'm going to trust. You have to trust in his promise. That's what David did. If you want, then you turn to Psalms chapter 9. But I'm going to chapter 25 too. But Psalms 9. And it says in verse 9. Let me get there, okay. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in a time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For the Lord thy God is not forsaken them that seeketh thee. You know what he's telling, you know what David's telling them? Trust in God's promises. He doesn't stop there. You can go to chapter 25 and you can do a many, many verses. But Psalm 25 verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without calling. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. And on thee do I wait all the day. Here's the problem. And most of us are waiting for a problem to go away instead of waiting on God and trusting in God. Peace comes not from your problem being solved, but trusting in God's promises. Now, this is a moment we can go through the whole Bible and name all of God's promises, but we don't have time for that. I don't. Because lunch is coming, and I want to go eat lunch at some point, okay? But let me just give some kind of generic promises. God knows. The last song we sung, which is about the sparrow, he sees the sparrow. Oh, if he sees a sparrow, you not think he sees you? God knows. God knows what's best. God will provide. And God will see you through. That's just a few, just generic promises of God. See, you can have peace in the midst of your problem if you trust in his promises. Not if your issue goes away. You say, well, how can you prove that? Those remember the apostles? They were on a big boat, remember? And a storm came up. And the storm was bad, and they woke up Jesus, and they're afraid, and he said, peace be still. And what did he say to them? O ye of little faith. The reason they were scared out of their mind, according to Jesus, wasn't the storm. But they could have had peace. The enemy to their peace wasn't the storm. The enemy to their peace, the one was robbing them of peace, was their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. So today, your peace is not going to come through, and your rest is not going to come through your problem going away. Because hey, some problem can't go away. right? Or some issues can't go away. Your peace and rest is going to come by trusting in Jesus. I think about this. God shut the lion's mouth for Daniel, right? That's a great story. But Daniel still had to trust God to keep them closed, didn't he? You know the problem? Many of us, our faith is so little that we couldn't have peace in that. We were always over with Daniel. No, you don't. Because you and I, most of us, would be looking at the lion every 15 minutes. Oh, you know, God has let me down. We wouldn't trust it. Even Daniel had to have faith, and he had to have faith that whole night. We would still be saying this. I don't understand why God don't just remove the lions. I don't know why God don't kill these lions. Why is he letting them live? They're already pretty skinny. They've been used for wickedness. Why don't he just kill the lions? That's not what he did he? He said, he shut the lion's mouth, and Daniel had to continue to trust that God would do that. By the way, of course, we would all love for God to take the lions away to have peace. Proverbs 3 and 5 said, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. See, that's our problem. If we'd have been gained, we'd have been saying, well, at any moment now, God is going to let them eat me. Why were they there? Don't he just kill the lions? Why? But that's not what God tells. God didn't tell us to do that. I've said it before. I said it in funeral sermons all the time. God didn't give us the why, but he gives us the what. What are we to do? What we're to do is to trust God. And when we trust in his promises, that's when we will get peace. That's the song. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my hand. That's exactly the idea that I'm trying to get across. Trust God's promises. He will sustain you. He will bring you through. He will take care. Here's what we need to do. We need to trust. But let it be here. We also need to trust something else in Jesus. We need to trust his principles. And I wrote there a key word, righteousness. And I'm not going to labor this point. But when we get discouraged sometimes, we like to take matter into our own hands. This is when we make the problem even worse, which leads to more discouragement. I mentioned Abraham, remember? What did he do? He took matters into his own hand because he was discouraged and doubted God, and didn't trust his promise. So therefore he decided to have a child with Hagar and had Ishmael. Now, did Ishmael, was he a blessing or a curse to them? No, he got kicked out. See, Abraham made his problem worse by not trusting in his principle. Here's the thing. When discouraged, live by this motto. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. I've said that in another sermon, I know, but still it's true. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When discouraged, trust in Jesus. We know this song. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. What are we going to do today? We got to trust him at his promises. We got to trust him at his word. Let's take him at his word. Let's ask for more grace to trust in him more. So let me ask you, you should ask for your problem to be removed. Don't get me wrong, David did that. But have you asked God to give you grace to trust? Have you asked God to go, Lord, give me the grace, give me the trust to get up through this? See, we should all, there's nothing wrong in saying, God, remove this mountain from my life. But we also, and while we do that, we also need to say, God, if you don't remove this mountain, give me the strength and the faith and the grace to go over that mountain. We need to pray for both. We need to pray for both. When discouraged, tell it to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And then finally, number 3, give thanks to Jesus. Okay, that's what? Yeah. right now, give thanks to Jesus. And say, if you're saved, okay? And you say, well, Brother Will, I don't have anything to be thankful for. I'm bitter, I'm angry, I'm discouraged, and just it's a dark room and isolated. There's nothing that I can be thankful for. Well, it is one thing. Even if your life is going totally wrong, now, if you're saved, there's one thing you can do. That's first of all, letter A, He has saved you. He has saved you. Well, by the way, and let's put this in perspective, your biggest problem, if you're saved, has been solved. Your biggest problem in your life, if you're saved, has been solved. That's your salvation. And the fact that you are a sinner, and that you are on your way to hell, and if you're saved, Christ has died, shed His blood, and if you've trusted in Him, and have faith in Him, then you're saved. So you do have something to be thankful for. And that's something, you know, if you read marriage books, like, you know, I've read some marriage books, and they never work. You know, I try to go home and apply it, but my wife won't listen to it. I'm like, get what the book says. I'm just messing. But you know, they always talk about when you're discouraged or when you're upset with them, to write a list of things that you like about that person. You know, start with something small, no matter what it is. You know, it could be, well, she at least shut the refrigerator door or something like that, or at least he put the toilet seat down. You know, anything. Well, same thing for you. Maybe you're so struggling so bad that you need to start at this, which is really the biggest thing, but be thankful that you're saved. That may be all you can do today, but today I want to encourage you, hey, say, Lord, thank you for saving me. We need to give gratitude. You may be discouraged, but that's where you need to start. Let her be here. He will, he is and will strengthen you. I guess he is strengthening him. But anyway, I tried my best on that one. He is, and because I want to put both, because it's not something he's not doing, it's something he is doing right now. He, and whether you know it or not, he is, if you're saved, he is strengthening you. He is sustaining you. But here's the thing, he also will. Isaiah 46, verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even the horse hairs will I carry you. I made you, I will bear you, and even I will carry and will deliver you. And just, I mean, we read so many verses. But Moses said this in Exodus 15, then Moses, after the Red Sea, I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, the Red Sea's here, you got the mountains here somewhere, and you got the Egyptian Pharaoh coming after you. They're trapped. And they were discouraged like some of you are, and God brought them through, and he took care of them. And Moses said, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphantly glorious. The horses and his riders he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Hey, Moses gave thanks to God. Hey, you need the same thing. God will see you through. Let her see, and he said to. He said, why do I need to give thanks? Let her see here. And he said to. Philippians 4, 5 through 7. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Hey, here's why. He saved you. Letter A, he saved you. Letter B, he is strengthening you. And letter C, he said to. He said to. Now, I mean, there's no exception to that. James 1 says this. Count it all joy, my brother, when you fall meet in the various kinds of trouble. Hey, be thankful. Let me ask you, are you discouraged today? I understand that it doesn't seem right. But be thankful. Be thankful. And by the way, I know most of you here, if you've been saved any length of time, even in the midst of your discouragement, you know you have something to be thankful for. More than just salvation. Well, hey, that needs to be part of it. We need to pour our heart out to God. We need to trust His promises. But we need to be thankful. We need to do that today. Discouragement is real. It's tough. It's debilitating at times. But here's what I want to say at the end. Don't give up. If you're there right now, in the midst of discouragement, let's do these three things. Tell it to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And give thanks to Jesus. And we stand on our feet as Miss Tammy and Miss Brenda come to play a song of invitation. I don't know where you're at today. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the best things you can do right now, especially in the lives of sermon, and if you're discouraged, the best thing you can do is come down here. And you know what? We'll gather around you. You don't have to tell us. You can later. But we'll come around you in prayer. And we'll pray for you. Hey, that's you today. Hey, don't miss a blessing of us praying together. I've always said you can pray at your seat, and that's fine for any sermon or any service. But we all supposed to pray together. We all to pray together. And if they begin to play, and God has spoken to you, hey, I want to encourage you. Hey, come down here.